Welcome to the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast, hosted by myself, Emma, and my wonderful friend, Becca. This podcast is dedicated to parents-to-be and new families in the East Surrey area, providing a wealth of knowledge and support through the exciting journey of pregnancy and birth.
Join us as we discuss everything from prenatal care and childbirth education to navigating the challenges of life with a new baby. We'll be joined by guest expert speakers, including midwives, doulas, breastfeeding experts, nutritionists, and more, who will share their insights and expertise to help you make informed decisions and feel confident in your choices.
Whether you're a first-time parent or a seasoned pro, the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast has something for everyone. With a focus on empowering parents, we will help you feel calm, confident, and supported through your pregnancy and birth journey. So tune in and get ready to be inspired. Hello, hello, and welcome back.
Hi, how's it going, Emma? How's things?
It's all right, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. The usual weird stresses of a week when you're a mum, I suppose.
Yeah.
But otherwise, not too bad.
Bro. Well, it's just us. We don't have any guests today. And today we are coming to talk about the delivery suite. So we have got previous episodes. We have one called Birthplace Options at East Surrey Hospital. So in that episode, we went over where are the different places that you may give birth if you're under East Surrey Hospital. We also had another episode called The Benefits of the Birth Centre, where we really dove into what is the birth centre, what does it look like, how can you use it, when might you use it, what are the benefits. So really talked about that in a lot of detail. So if you haven't already listened to that, go do that. But for today, we are talking about the delivery suite.
We are. We're going to talk about what the delivery suite is and the differences between a delivery suite and obviously birth centre. And really, why you would be there, sort of why you might be told you need to go to delivery suite, the reasons behind it, and then also how to utilise a delivery suite. So how to make it in a very sort of clinical environment, trying to make it your own and trying to still get that same nice, relaxed vibe that you would elsewhere.
Absolutely.
So how to utilise the space as well.
So the delivery suite is sometimes known as the consultant-led maternity service. Some hospitals call it the labour ward. We kind of don't use that phrase anymore. It gives a little bit of an image of six women in a room all giving birth together, which is not what it is.
No, you do have your own room, just to clarify.
You
that.
Do indeed.
That's probably a good starting point.
It is actually. What is there at the birth centre? At the delivery suite at East Surrey.
So you're not in a room with 20 other people.
No.
I think people have that image because when they look at afterbirth, and obviously when you go into the ward after you've given birth, you are then sharing with other women. Because
and
you are
the antenatal ward as well, if you're in before your baby's born for any reason.
Yes,
that is a
ward where
traditional ward.
Yeah, where you see all the blue curtains and you're all divided by a curtain. That is, like you say, before or after.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual delivery rooms, they are private.
Yeah.
So don't worry, you're not sitting there trying to push a baby out with five other women in the room.
No, definitely not. They are nine separate rooms, all of which have their own ensuite, so you're not needing to worry about sharing bathrooms, things like that. You're not needing to leave that room for any reason once you're in there, basically. So you do have complete privacy.
Yeah.
And also one of the rooms does have a birth pool. So when we talked about birth centre, we talked a lot about the birth pools. All three rooms have them. But there is still one in the delivery suite. You're obviously just relying on that being available when you need it, which it might not be, but it is a possibility.
It is a possibility. And actually, they are quite good there, because I know that if the room does have somebody in it, but the lady has already given birth and she's in recovery, they do try to say, right, we have got somebody in. Let's see if we can move this lady to another room if she still needs to be in a room, or transfer her to the postnatal ward. They are quite good in trying to get you in if they know that you want to use a pool and you're going to want the room. So they are quite good at trying to manoeuvre, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a few reasons why you might be on delivery suite.
Yes.
I think for actually a lot of people, I'll start kind of the simplest one, is actually maternal choice. And this is actually quite complicated. Because when you look at the statistics of where babies are born at East Surrey, actually very few are in the birth centre.
It's quite a low statistic, actually.
It's about 10% at the moment, whereas everything else is the delivery suite pretty much. Home birth is even smaller. But the vast majority of those women who have gone to the delivery suite actually would have been due to maternal choice. And yeah. often that is because, and we'll talk about the differences and what's available, but the big kind of difference is the epidural.
It is.
It is where you can have an epidural.
And it is the only place you can yes. have an epidural, because obviously it needs to be administered by an anaesthetist and you need to be monitored. So it is the only place that you can have an epidural. And I think it goes back to that fear, doesn't it? A lot of women think, I'm not going to cope. I'm not going to cope with the pain.
What if?
What if, etc. So they just go straight for the epidural option and go, right, well, I'm going to delivery suite because I know it's an option. And I think you're right. I think a lot of it is down to that choice of having the option of an epidural if you need one.
And I think it's important to just clarify again. We've talked about the different options. We'll talk, if we haven't already, about how to make decisions about that. But I think it's also really important to clarify, an epidural is still an option if you go to the birth centre. Mm. You would just need to move over to the delivery suite.
Yep.
If you are low risk and there isn't a medical reason, like we'll talk about in a minute, it is always an option to start at the birth centre.
Yep.
And then if you feel that you want an epidural, then you can really simply literally move down the corridor, because that's all there is in between the two places to have that epidural. It isn't a one or the other, either or situation.
Absolutely.
And so it's still an option.
We've spoken a lot about that in our actual birth centre episode, if you want to go back and listen to that, because we do talk about it a bit more there. But yeah, it really is. Okay, there is about an average half an hour. I think they try to aim for half an hour.
Yeah, it's going to depend on how busy things are, what's going on. How busy,
when the anaesthetist is available. But it really is a case of saying, right, okay, I've done what I can. This is not working for me anymore. I want to go down to delivery suite to have an epidural. And like you said, it is just a simple case of saying, right, I'd like to go down there, and they will act as quickly as they can to get you down there. So if it is purely a case you're choosing delivery suite just for the option of an epidural, no health risks, no label, no other reason, then actually consider starting the birth centre first.
Look into your options, make the decisions for yourself.
If it's purely that. But then there's the medical side, isn't there?
The medical side is quite complicated.
Oh, there's so many reasons and so many. I think we've spoken about this before, the label high risk.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to take, there's a very fine line between being low risk and high risk.
Yes.
And what it takes to go into that high risk category. And it does seem to be a bit of a, doesn't seem to take much, do you agree? It doesn't really take much to go over that line, really.
It doesn't on paper.
On paper.
And I think this is the important thing to kind of be aware of. High risk, low risk isn't a black and white thing. Every person is completely different. All of our medical histories, our body composition, all of these things are so completely individual. Mm. And there can be things that you are high risk for during your pregnancy that don't affect your labour. I've experienced this. I have high risk pregnancies, but with a medical condition that doesn't affect my labours. Yeah. So on paper, because I'm consultant led, it has always been assumed that that means I would during my pregnancy, but also be consultant led during my labour.
Yep.
But actually there was no need for that. And I was able to choose the birth centre because it was different. So it's just asking the question, Why am I high risk? Yeah. What is the concern?
Yeah.
And actually, how does that impact on labour? Am I high risk during that labour? What is the concern that's going on, really?
That's a really good point. It's actually asking, am I high risk just for pregnancy or is it for pregnancy and labour? I.e., does this risk that I have in pregnancy actually continue over into labour as well? So that's a really good point, actually.
Yeah.
It's actually asking, what is that risk?
Yeah.
How long does this high risk actually last for in terms of, are you saying it's part of the journey, a whole journey, the delivery, the postnatally as well? Am I going to need to be monitored after baby's born because of this high risk? I mean, I was classed as high risk, partly because of age, because I like to sort of put an age thing.
Yep, so that's one of them. But if you're 35, I'm afraid you're geriatric.
Geriatric.
Get ready for your bus pass.
I was distraught. When I got told that for my second, I thought, how can I be geriatric? And that really upset me.
Actually. Yeah.
Really upset me.
Things like BMI can be one as well.
I've got an underactive thyroid. I've had it since I was a teenager. That put me in the high risk category.
Yeah.
But actually, thyroid had no effect on my labour.
No.
Whatsoever. It was during pregnancy because I'd have my thyroid levels monitored because obviously it's hormone related, making sure my targets and everything. But it didn't matter for Labour.
No.
But so, I was still in that high risk.
Yeah.
And was told, you'll probably have to go to delivery suite because of the high risk label. And
yeah.
I thought, well, do
it's
I
It's just
do?
Worth querying.
Do I?
So,
and
yeah.
I did query it.
So, yeah. So, yeah. Mine is, I've got autoimmune conditions. Very dangerous during pregnancy. Very high risk pregnancies. Miscarried, premature labour, things like that. Does not affect my body in the slightest, apart from the fact that I've got a few achy, creaky joints that might affect what position I can be in, potentially. But apart from that, no danger during labour. So it's just worth asking the questions. If you are consultant-led, asking your consultant.
Absolutely.
If you're not happy with their answer, speak to your midwife, and also just being aware that they do have the Birth Choices Service at East Surrey, which is the dedicated appointment that you can make, you can request, where it is talking through exactly what they're concerned about, what you're concerned about, so you can come to a decision with their advice, with your thoughts on exactly where everyone feels is safest.
Going through your options.
Yeah.
Actually talking it all through and saying, right, what are the alternatives, or what can we come to an agreement here?
Yeah. And there absolutely will be things that you will go to a meeting, or you will go and go, yes, I feel like I'm high risk, that either there's some concern about your baby's health and that they need additional monitoring during the labour, because that's one of the big differences. In the birth centre, your baby would be monitored just with a Doppler, like they are in your maternity, in your antenatal appointments.
Yeah.
That isn't sort of a continuous check on how they're doing. If there's some concern to do with their well-being, they won't want to monitor your baby really closely during your labour. So have this continuous monitoring.
Yeah, that's
that can
when you
be a big reason.
A big band around the belly, like you've probably seen on the telly.
Yeah.
The big sort of band that goes all the way around. Or I have seen a great video, though, sorry, of a lady that had the band around her belly, which you often think, oh, I've got to stay in bed because I'm... But she was able to walk around have the band and still walk around, and obviously with the machine following behind her.
Yeah.
But you always get the image, oh, I've got a band around the belly, I've got to stay in bed. That's
no,
it. But
do not fall down that trick.
Of going, oh, right, I've got to be continuously monitored, but I can still walk around.
Yeah.
I can still do bits.
Absolutely. And we'll talk in a little bit later in this episode about if you are in the delivery suite, how can you make the most of that room? And that is definitely one of those things.
Yeah.
You do not need to lie down. They also have wireless monitoring as an option. It's dependent on things like, are the batteries charged? Is it available? Does it need a service? You know, things aren't always perfect, but it potentially might be an option.
Yeah.
Ask. The wireless monitors are great, actually, because you can still get in a pool with one of those on, which you can't with the traditional wired.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, you can move around more easily because you've not got wires attached.
Yeah.
And then also with the monitoring is there might be something to do with your own health, whether that be pre-existing heart issues, for example, or preeclampsia, things like that that mean that mum's health needs to be checked more carefully during her labour. And again, in the birth centre, they would absolutely be doing observations on you, checking your temperature, your heart rate, things like that, intermittently to check that you're doing okay. But if there's real concerns about how your body is going to cope with labour, then that would be a reason to be over on the consultant-led area, so that your health can be monitored appropriately. Induction is another big one as well.
The one point I was going to mention as well, sorry, just while I'm in my head, because if I don't say it now, I'll probably forget. It might be, if this is second time round, it might be if you've had complications in your first birth.
Yes.
Then they will suggest that you go to delivery suite second ride town, just second time round, just in case you do need to be monitored more carefully, just in case there were any... that was actually one of the other reasons why I actually had to go delivery suite with my second as well, because with my first birth, I needed to go to theatre afterwards because I lost quite a lot of blood.
Yeah.
And I needed a transfusion. So I said, okay, just in case it happens again, we would like you to be in delivery suite so we can monitor you, just in case. So sometimes it can be, if you've had complications first time round, they say just in case, because, you know, not saying it would, but just in case, it might be a good idea so we can monitor you more closely in delivery suite.
Yeah.
So that's another option why you could be off.
Absolutely, yeah. And that kind of comes down to what interventions might they need to do during your birth. And there are lots of interventions that are possibilities in birth that you would be on the delivery suite for rather than birth centre.
Mm.
So things like induction, depending on the method, we can do, oh my God, we could talk endlessly about induction. That's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
Depending on how your labour is induced, if you're having an induction, basically if you need a hormonal drip, you need to be monitored and your baby needs to be monitored, because there's risks that come with that that they want to alleviate by making sure they're checking on you.
Yeah.
So that might be one reason. Or if there's delays in your labour and your labour isn't progressing how they are hoping, they might want to intervene. There's lots and lots of reasons, but if there is a more medical input required for some reason, then delivery suite is where you would need to be. And if you were at home or the birth centre to start off with, and that kind of that changed, then you would just simply transfer. Move across.
Yeah. Actually, it's a place you want to be, because if you do need a bit of extra medical attention, it's the best place to be, because you've got access to everything. Obviously, you have all the staff available and the obstetricians and consultants. So actually, okay, even if it's not your preferred birth option, and you thought, actually, I really didn't want to end up here, actually, for the safety of you and your baby, it's the best place to be. It really is.
If there is a complication.
If there is a complication, yeah.
If everything is straightforward and you're low risk and there is no issue, then things are different. We would have talked about birth place study and things like that in our when we overlaid all the different options. So definitely look into that.
Yeah.
It isn't necessarily the safest place, depending on what we're talking about.
No, but going back to what you're saying about if you needed medical attention, it is the best place to be.
So that's kind of what there is. East Surrey's delivery suite is actually really lovely. They are making lots of changes. We've been round and had a tour quite recently.
Yep.
It is a lovely, light, bright space. The rooms are reasonably spacious.
They've redone a few of them, haven't they? So they're starting to put more sort of fairy lights and murals on the wall.
Yeah, they're adding murals slowly to each room as the funding comes
lighting.
In.
They're trying to do that to most of the rooms in delivery suite, aren't they?
So the mood lighting is available in all rooms.
Is it in all rooms?
Every room has a box that has been put together by, I think it's the Embrace charity.
Oh.
Every room has a box. I, in my head, call it the hypnobirthing box. It has your fairy lights. It has your mood lighting. It has, I believe it has a Bluetooth speaker in there.
So the
really simple little things that will completely change that room. So, and they are in all rooms. Birth centre, delivery suite, they are there for you to use however you wish. So you can make it a really lovely space.
Because let's face it, it is more clinical, as we've discussed. Mm-hmm. You know, birth centre is very much more home from home sort of feeling. Delivery suite has to be more clinical because obviously it is more medical.
Yeah.
So it's about adapting your room to make it feel less clinical and to still give you that nice home from home vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to be nice and relaxed. You want your oxytocin to be nice and high, which we know is only high if it's nice and nice dim lights and feels nice and safe or warm and cozy. So it's about adapting that room to make it feel
not like a hospital room.
Not like a hospital.
Yeah, if you use that room and you treat it like as you're a patient in a hospital room, it's potentially going to affect how your body labours.
You're going to feel fearful. You're going to feel not safe. You're going to feel scared and anxious.
Tend to feel that relaxed in hospitals, generally speaking.
If you have to go to hospital, you tend to feel a bit on edge, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you want to avoid all that and think, well, no, it's still my birth experience. I don't want it to feel like a clinical experience and feel like it's a procedure.
Yeah.
Or is the term, what's the term they say? Delivering a baby.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a very clinical sounding.
It is a little bit. Your baby's not a pizza.
Exactly. It's not by delivery, sponsored by delivery.
Your midwife is, on that note, it's always my little pet peeve. Your midwife is not delivering your baby. You are.
Yeah, exactly.
You are the person giving birth, not your midwife. They are there to support you whilst you deliver your baby. Your midwife does not deliver your baby. It's one of my little pet peeves.
But it's that terminology again, isn't it?
Yeah.
That language that me and you like to talk about. It's all about the language as well. So anything that you can do to make that delivery suite room feel like a more personal home from home feeling, adapt it.
Yeah.
Adapt it to what feels. I mean, we've mentioned before it's coming up to Christmas, and if you're listening and you are due around December time, make it Christmassy.
Yeah. Keep your fairy lights. Well, even
little mini Christmas trees. Or
if you're
whatever,
pregnant and not due near Christmas, do not pack away your fairy lights when you take down your Christmas tree. Leave them out. They are so good in labour. All of those warm, fuzzy feelings that you get in a nice, dark Christmas evening when your Christmas tree lights are on
and
the music's playing in the background, that little flutter you get in your tummy, that's what you want during labour. That is oxytocin through and through.
And that's what you need to really try and enhance when you're in delivery suite, which is difficult to do when you first walk in because you think, this doesn't feel cosy, this doesn't feel warm. But as we've mentioned on another episode, this is where your birth partner can step in and go, right, you concentrate what you need to do, do your breathing, do your hypnobirthing tools. I will set up this room for you.
So let's talk about like that. Let's imagine we're a birth partner.
Yep.
The dream, by the way, I would love to be someone's birth partner. If anyone wants a birth partner, I am available. It is my dream. But I'm walking into that room as a birth partner. The very first thing I am going to do is, if I'm in a room with a window, I'm drawing that blind and I am turning off the overhead white, bright fluorescent light. They all have dimmers, so they don't necessarily need to be all the way off, although that would be my preference. Lower that light right down. They're hospital lights. They're officey. They're not cosy. We all know.
You feel looked at. Yeah.
I mean, who likes sitting in their lounge with the overhead light on? Don't be an overhead light person. Have your lamps on.
Oxytocin will not like you if you've got those bright lights on.
So lower those. Dig out that box, if you've not bought your own, of the fairy lights and hang them up somewhere. Wherever that will be. Yeah.
Such a difference.
If you've got little LED candles at home, I like an LED candle. I know they look a bit naff in the light of day, but actually they're quite good nowadays. They flicker, and if the lighting is lower, they are effective.
You can get some really good ones. Sometimes they're so good you wouldn't even notice the difference.
And even then, you don't need to spend a lot of money on these things. We're not saying you need to spend a fortune on this.
It's lots of time in the recording. It's the 23rd of November. Mm-hmm. Black Friday's around.
Well, that's true.
You could probably look on Amazon tomorrow, which I think is officially Black Friday tomorrow. You could probably get all this half price tomorrow if you looked in your Amazon basket or anywhere.
Well, even if not, they're not
expensive anyway.
So I use all these things in my hypnobirthing setup when I'm teaching. The fairy lights I used cost me £4.99 on Amazon. They plug into a simple little USB plug like I charge my phone with.
Yep.
And I buy a 6-pack of little tea lights from Asda, and that cost me £1 for 6. There you go. Buy a couple of those packs, you've got a vibe.
There's a picture on my Instagram, actually, of someone that left me a review, and she sent me a picture of her room. Now, she had to go in delivery suite because she was being induced, and her picture is amazing. I don't, if you get to have a look. But she's turned off the lights, she has fairy lights, and in front of her bed, she's got about, I don't know, half a dozen LED candles with a few bits around it.
Yep.
It looks lovely. She hasn't done much.
No, they're really small changes,
but the picture, you would think, oh, and she said that was her favourite bit.
Yeah.
She said her favourite bit was setting up that room, and I think baby came quite shortly afterwards.
Oh, amazing.
And she said, that was my favourite bit. The whole labour experience, that was my favourite bit, having that all around me whilst giving birth. Oh,
amazing.
So there you go. Small changes.
Yeah. Another thing, it's a really simple change, is music. Again, in that box that's in the room is a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah.
Hospitals are noisy. Labour wards are quite noisy.
You're going to hear quite a few women because, you know, as we know, you don't know how loud you're going to be until you're in labour. Some women go inwards. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, I was a bit of an inwards person. Some people like to really let it all out and shout and scream and let it all out that way. So it depends.
Yeah.
But you, depending on how you are, some women are very loud, and that's
some people nothing roar that baby out, and that is absolutely fine,
because that's their way of, you know, letting it out and
it's noisy, and you don't want other people's noises.
Machines, people running in that corridor.
Well, this was going to be my next point. We'll come back to beeping machines,
right?
But it is noisy.
Yeah,
cover that up, put some music on. And I do not care, I mean, I don't know about you, Becca, I do not preach that if you've done something like hypnobirthing, you have to have your hypnotracks going all the time.
No. I say have them as an option.
Yeah.
But actually, I tell people have various playlists.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to know what you're going to want to listen to until you're in that moment and actually going through labour.
There'll be times that you want something chilled to help you relax. There'll be times that you'll want songs from your past that make you happy. I taught an opera singer once who told me she did have opera playing the whole way through her labour.
Because
that's her oxytocin. Yeah. You have heavy metal for all I care.
I was about to say, well, my puppy is a massive metal heavy. Metal heavy fan. Heavy metal fan. And I like quite a bit of it as well. I've seen videos of women having heavy metal in the background.
It's about how it makes you feel.
It's what makes you feel good. So have a various play. Don't have just one. Various playlists, and so you can choose from one to another throughout labour. I think the one someone I taught recently who's planning to have a home birth,
mm-hmm.
said, I love Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
So I've got a playlist of just Ed Sheeran as maybe when I'm in early labour, just to sort of dance around a little bit.
If there's something that's going to make you dance, that's good as well. Get your body moving.
Get it all good. But yeah, have all sorts of different playlists, including you. You know, if hypnobirthing tracks have been working for you throughout your pregnancy and they have helped you with the purpose of them to help you relax,
mm-hmm.
have them as an option in case you want to at some point during the labour go, I need a bit of a confidence boost. I'm going to play those for a little while and then have my spa music.
Whatever
whale song. Yeah, sea noises.
I think that's what people always expect from a hypnobirthing track.
All sorts of.
I'm also a big advocate for headphones in labour as well.
Bluetooth headphones.
Because you can move them around. Yes, a Bluetooth speaker is going to pump that into your room and get a vibe going. But also, if that isn't quite doing enough for you, sticking some, whether they're in ear or over ear, whatever they look like, they're going to block out a lot of noise as well as giving you something else. So I think they can be really handy to have available as well.
Not so much privacy, but if you think, actually, I want to listen to something in my...
Just for you.
We're not for everyone to hear, but just for me.
Yeah, again, if it's like that feels
Bluetooth
private.
Buds are not a lot of money these days. No. You don't have to get the expensive iPod ones. There's all sorts of different makes out there. You can get some nice cheap Bluetooth. The other thing I'd mention is I remember when I was in labour and delivery suite and I had something on in the background. The only thing that happened with mine is I think the internet connection wasn't great that day.
Oh, yeah, you have to log into the Wi-Fi and hope that it stays.
And I remember thinking, oh, I'm just getting in the vibe here, and it cut out at one point. So actually, that's probably a good point. Look at, is there a way of sort of boosting, can you get like dongle, I don't know, I'm not very IT savvy, you're more than me, but can you get things to sort of help with your connection?
Not in the hospital. The 3G is pretty rubbish around there. It is patchy. There is the Wi-Fi. It's a really easy thing to log into.
It's just depending how much it's used, I suppose. And
I suppose the other thing to consider, though, is if assuming you have a smartphone, let's be honest, if you're listening to a podcast, you probably do. Whether it's Apple Music, Spotify, whatever it is, have a couple of things downloaded. I know most of us stream live these days. It saves our memory on our phones, but it won't take a huge amount of memory to have a couple of hours worth of stuff downloaded.
It's worth it because looking
just
at now,
in case,
that really actually affected
That's
me.
A really good
because,
idea, actually. Yeah.
It was actually the playlist that you gave me in terms of when I did it with you.
Yeah.
And I was just getting into it, and I said to Aid, oh, please sort it out. And he said, oh, I don't
buffering.
Know. My husband's even more of a tech dinosaur than I am. He's very old school. He still listens to cassettes if he can.
Amazing.
So I'm saying to him, and he's like, I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm sorry. And it kept cutting in and out. And in the end, I had to turn it off because I thought this is actually stressing me out.
That's disturbing you more,
But looking back, that's something I wish I would have planned. It was actually pre-downloaded rather than relying on the Wi-Fi. So if there's anything... that you know you're definitely going to want to listen to or think you're going to listen to, pre-download it.
Yeah.
And you can always delete it off your memory.
Oh, afterwards. Yeah. Well, it won't take up that much memory.
Because the Wi-Fi can be iffy there.
Yes.
So definitely do that.
And the other thing with that, like, distracting noises type thing, the other thing I always say, if you are being monitored for any reason, whether that's you, whether it's your baby, and you are connected to a machine that makes a noise, turn down the noise on that.
You can do that.
You are not trained to interpret whatever that machine is trying to tell you.
Don't get freaked out because machines do make random noises, and I know people got worried where they suddenly go and start making, and they think, oh my god, is there something wrong with the baby? And if there is, trust me, they'll be running in the room.
Yeah. Even if you are a midwife. Turn it off, because it's not your job to be your midwife when you're giving birth. You have a midwife doing that for you. You do not need to be trying to interpret what your baby's heart rate is doing, what your blood pressure is doing. That's not your job.
No. Actually, to a good point as well, I'll just go back to my first pregnancy. Looking back now, I realise it was stressing me out. So my husband was watching the monitor. And
at the time,
I think we both thought it was going to help, but looking back, it didn't. He was like, oh, your next contraction's coming, because you can see on the machine when your next one's building. And looking back, I thought it was really helpful. So, oh, okay, I'm preparing. He can let me know when each one's. But actually, all I ended up doing was tensing up.
Yeah.
Because I thought, here it comes.
Yeah, you made that contraction longer.
And I made it longer because I was waiting for it.
You were anticipating.
And I thought, actually, that was no help whatsoever.
No.
I wish I hadn't known when each one was coming because it just made me more stressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
turn it down.
Turn it down.
Don't spin it away from you. Cover it up, whatever you need to do.
Don't watch when a contraction's building. Some of the machines do show you when one's about to build because that will just stress you out more. Just don't look at it.
Yeah, whatever that machine is saying is none of your business. Yeah, cover it up. Hang your hoodie over it. I don't care.
Put a bed sheet over it or something if it's going to distract you.
Yeah.
And going back to mobility, so, you know, like I said, there are videos out there if you want to find them of women that are walking around. And actually let the midwife know and say, look, I know I'm being, continuously monitored, but I do want to move around and just say, so I am going to be getting out of the bed, moving around and moving. They're going to be fine with it. As long as they can still monitor, as long as it's still picking things up for them to read, there's no reason why you can't move around with a machine. Well, and, you know.
And even if walking around isn't really working out in that moment, sit on a birth ball.
I was about to say that, birth ball. Peanut ball, birth
move,
ball.
Move, wiggle, so that you're still being active and you're still being upright. There is going to be a bed in that room. It will be in the middle of the room.
Use the bed as a tool as well,
but
like
don't
you said.
Lie down on it.
Lean on it. Like, put the ball next to the bed.
Yeah.
If you think, actually, I don't want to walk around with this contraction behind me because it's put the ball next to the bed, sit on the birthing ball and just use the bed to lean on, put your arms on.
There is a great video, actually. I've shared it on my Instagram. Oh, decades ago? How old am I? Donkeys ago. I will find it and I will put the link to the post in the show notes. It's a really great video. It's a midwife in a delivery suite room. She doesn't make too many changes. She lowers the lighting a bit, but she's not done her fairy lights and things. But she dates the bed. She moves it to the side. That room is for you to do what you want with. Move things around. Yeah. As long as you're not, you know, blocking the fire exit. Like, move things around. She uses the chair that's in there for the birth partner.
Yep.
She asks for a mat on the floor. She has a birth ball and she has the bed. And she moves the bed around. She gets it into all the different positions and basically shows you loads of different ideas of what you could do with the stuff in that room. So I will put that in the notes so you can go watch it because it's a really helpful, it's literally like a time lapse. It takes 10 seconds to watch. But
that's brilliant.
Don't walk in and fall down the trap of going, well, there's a bed in the middle of this room. I'm going to have a lie down on that because your contractions lying down.
I was guilty of it, especially when it's first time round and you've never experienced. I was guilty of doing that. I thought, bed, lay down.
Yeah.
Because you just think, that's what you do. You don't have to.
No, and a couple of things happen when you do that. Number one, don't know about anyone else, but my contractions when I was lying down felt about 10 times more intense than when I was moving around.
So I ended up instantly going on all fours on the bed.
Yeah.
And that instantly
really easy.
Made it feel better.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not on my back. Mm-hmm. So I just went on all fours and rested my head on the pillow and that felt 10 times better.
Yeah. So, it will feel more intense. Automatically, if we lie down on our bed, we lay on our back, especially if, you know, we've got a monitor on our tummy or something. And what are we told throughout, particularly the third trimester of pregnancy? Don't lie down on your back because it will affect your heart rate and it can affect your baby's heart rate. If you're lying on your back with a monitor on and suddenly your baby's heart rate is going doolally.
Well, they actually tell you to move, don't they?
Yeah, because
they actually
it's
say
not a great
to you,
position.
Can you change position? Yeah. We need to sort of. And they get you.
Yeah, so at least lie down on your side. If you do need, you know, not saying you can't ever lie down, you're going to want to rest at some point, but use it wisely. Don't just go, I've got a bed, I've got to go lie down on it and be a good little patient. Use it as a tool, because that's what it is.
And also going back to the whole position in terms of gravity, you know, if you're lying on your back, you're not helping gravity with the baby coming down, you're not helping with your pelvis, because as we know, as we lie back, our pelvis closes more, so we're not allowing, you know, there's less room for baby to maneuver down. We want upright, I think the term we always use is UFO.
Yeah.
Upright, forward, open. You want to be as upright as possible, opens up the pelvis, it just allows everything to work a bit better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lying down's not going to help with any of that. So,
and if you're in a room with a birth pool, excellent. There will be a few things that may stop you being able to use that pool if you're in the delivery suite. Things like if you've got that continuous monitoring and the wireless monitor isn't available. If you've got an epidural, you're not going to be getting in the water for various safety reasons. So there's a few things that might stop you doing that. But even if you're in a room without a pool, use that ensuite bathroom. There is at least a shower in every room. Just because a pool isn't available to you doesn't mean that water isn't at all. Get in the shower. Hot water on your back, over your tummy, putting the pressure right up on it and using that to kind of create some pressure on your back, like a massage. Sit on a birth ball under a shower. I promise you it will feel good.
You can move the birth ball into the shower. It doesn't have to just stay in the room. Move the birth ball under the shower. That's a brilliant idea.
Use the tools. Use the toilet. Now, this is a home birth thing that this is used a lot. Sometimes I've heard the toilet been referred to as the dilation station. Sitting on a toilet, you automatically relax your pelvic floor. If you've ever sat on a toilet fully dressed, you will feel like you're going to wet yourself, because we have been programmed since the age of, like, whenever we were potty trained, that when we sit on a toilet, we relax our pelvic floors. That will massively help. And also the position you automatically sit on a toilet is that beautiful upright, forward and open. Lots and lots of women feel they need a wee, go to the toilet, they empty their bladder, it creates more space in their pelvis
and
for their baby.
Not being crude, it does empty bowels.
It
as
does,
well.
Yeah.
We all worry about poo during labour, don't we?
So, yeah. And all of a sudden, things ramp up. Use that toilet. Like, use what you have available to you. And with the using things available to you, bring things with you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Right, we're saying you do not want that space to feel like a clinical hospital room.
No.
You want to take basically all of the benefits of home birth, which we will talk about in another episode. There will be a whole home birth episode coming up at some point. But the evidence is there are lots and lots of benefits to birth working like it's supposed to from a home birth that all come from you feeling comfortable and safe. Bring those things from your home to the hospital and recreate that home-like feeling at the hospital.
Even things like some people bring pictures, some people bring
their own pillows.
Pillows, dressing gowns, slippers, bring scent, their favourite scents, if they've got favourite scents and things. Everything that you use at home that makes you feel good, you can bring. Obviously, it'd be lovely to bring loads and let, but obviously you can't bring everything, but things that you know will give you instant calm and happiness.
Your favourite blanket, your pillow. Well, bring pillows anyway, because hospital pillows are rubbish and you hardly have any of them. But they all smell like home. You've ever done the thing when you walk into a friend's house and you're like, oh, it smells like your house. Like, we all have our own distinct smells. We're just not that aware of them. But having those with you will relax your body. You're trained to feel comfortable and relaxed around your things.
And actually,
take your own pyjamas as well. Don't be in a hospital gown just because you're in the hospital. You're not going to feel relaxed in that. Wear your own t-shirts.
You saying about scents, I don't know about you, but you know, during pregnancy, sometimes we can all have a bit weird favourite smells and things during pregnancy. It happens, and we all think, oh, smells you wouldn't like normally, you just do during pregnancy.
All the smells you normally like suddenly are the worst thing ever, which is more what I had.
But I remember, strangely, during pregnancy, anything that my husband would wear, I'd want to wear afterwards. I really liked his scent during one of my pregnancies. I'm not saying I don't the rest of the time, but particularly throughout one of my pregnancies, I just really liked his scent. So I wanted to wear his jumpers and things. Like, if that happens and you think, oh, I love my partner's aftershave, I love my whatever, take one of his jumpers, don't wash it, obviously, and take one of those and have it with you if you want to wear it or smell it or whatever.
Well, even if you haven't noticed that you have a particular sudden affinity to that smell, the reality is, hopefully, your partner makes you feel safe and loved and comfortable. So even if you haven't suddenly developed a new passion for his aftershave, the smell of your partner will be a comfort to you.
Familiar.
Yeah, smell, it's familiar, it's comfortable.
You associate with love and, you know, comfort and everything, so absolutely.
So, yeah. I think that's all of our
Well, that's all
tips,
our sort of
really.
Top tips for delivery suite. I mean, the message we're trying to, you know, say, get across here is that if you do go to delivery suite, there are lots of pros, lots of things you can do, making the room your own. Obviously, lots of, you know, the reasons for being there are all safety reasons for you and your baby. So, you know, don't be put off
It's not a bad thing.
The message we're trying to cross.
Make sure you're there for the right reason.
Yeah. Use your brains in terms of the benefits and the risks and everything.
But if there is a reason that that decision-making process has said that, yes, delivery suite is the place that is safest and best for me to give birth, how am I going to make this the best it can be?
Exactly. And there's so many options available in Italy, as we've discussed. So, I think that's our episode on delivery suite today. Obviously, if you have any questions, like we always say, drop me and Emma a message.
Absolutely.
If there's any more info. And we'll put lots of links in the blurb of this episode for you to look stuff up.
Yeah. And also check out, website, also the / maternity Instagram pages. They've got various little videos where they've given tours and things so you can see. And also it is like getting Glastonbury tickets from everything I've heard, but they do run... They're sort of like, it's not an antenatal course, it's like a mini session where they talk to you about the different options and potentially you can go in and see it. It does depend on how busy they are and things,
but you can see the space.
You can have it in your mind. It's not this enigma that you don't know where you're going. Yeah. So if you can get tickets for that, that's definitely worth
going to. Because when you see going it in the flesh, it's a lot more easier to visualize. We can talk all day about how it can look, but unless you go and see it for yourself, it's very difficult. So have a look around
But good luck getting the tickets. They are like Glastonbury tickets. My current cohort of hypnobirthing clients they're literally sitting there clicking refresh at 6 in the morning trying to get a ticket. They're very popular. But we will be back in a couple of weeks with another episode. We've got some more guests coming up in the future.
So keep an eye out for that. Yeah. Very exciting. But otherwise, have a good week, everyone.
Indeed.
Thank you for tuning in to the East Surrey Bump to Baby podcast today. If you have any topics you'd like us to cover in the upcoming episodes, please do get in touch. You can find me, Becca, at Be Your Own Birth on www.beyourownbirth.co.uk, and you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can find me, Emma, at Calm Mama Collective. www.calmmamacollective.co.uk, and on Instagram I am calmmama_hypnobirthing. We'll see you next time.